Now, brothers and sisters, Bethany has left for something that she must do. I want to say something. You know, pastors make mistakes too. And I didn't know that Bethany is not an Eastman student. I saw her standing leading song. I really like her voice, and she sings so well. So, and I'm glad that she came up and correct me, and I stand corrected. And you know, sometimes one time I made a mistake in my congregation in Orange County, and I didn't know. A few hundred people, no one say a word. Pastor, you were wrong. Until several weeks later, a young lady told me that I made a mistake. So I scolded the whole congregation. I said, you all know that I made a mistake, and why didn't you tell me, you know? So I said, it's embarrassing, you know? So we want to do the right thing. And, you know, I am a servant of God. I have followed Jesus, I believe, all the days of my life since day one. I became a Christian when I was 16. So that's a long time. And I try. I didn't say that. I cannot say that I am always perfectly obedient to God. I don't think anyone of us can say that. But I really try very hard to obey God. So this time, I retired, you all know, and in 2016. And the Lord opened the way for me to go to places to do teaching. So I would go. I obey, I follow Him. So this year is very special because I lost Mrs. Tang. I lost my wife. She's in heaven now. And I was praying, what shall I do? I might have mentioned this to you. I really don't mean to repeat, but this is something important and related to what I'm going to say today. And when I pray and got all the information that I need, I believe that God is leading me to move back to Rochester. So I went out to rent a U-Haul and pat my back, and here I am. I try to follow God wherever He leads me. He wants me to go to Africa, I go to Africa. He wanted me to go to Indonesia, I went to Indonesia. Remember, talking about Indonesia, remember praying for Pastor Ho? He's in Medan in Indonesia with his mom. I found out from Mrs. Ho yesterday. And next week, he'll be going to Vietnam, to Laos, and then to Vietnam. So let's pray for him, that he will have, God will give him good health to preach and to minister to people. And God, if I believe God is telling me to do something, I will do my best to follow Him. Now, in Labor Day, I came back to the retreat, right? You all remember, in Watson Homestead. And I know, at that time, I know that I will be moving back. Pastor Ho invited me to be the speaker for the retreat. I said, that's fine. But I wasn't ready to move yet. I haven't finished all the packing, and I ordered a U-Haul truck and for a certain date. So I said, I'll come here, and then I'll fly back. I'll come. So, and Pastor Ho said, can you preach? Can you preach for me, this day, I think, I didn't even know that he's going for vacation to Indonesia for ministry. So he said, can you preach on this day, this day, this day? And that's October 23rd. I said, okay, I'll preach. So, and I did my preaching way ahead. So as soon as he told me, he has told me that I will preach on today. So I prepared my sermon, my outline. I did everything at least 3 weeks ago. It's all done. So I want you to know, and I didn't know, that I'll be preaching to you here in the English service. I didn't know. I know nothing about that, but whatever. We do whatever God wants us to do, right? So I'm here. So I said, I'll just preach a similar, same, instead of coming up with a new subject, I'll preach the same message that I will preach in the Chinese service. That's what I'm doing today. So go to the slides. Do we have slides? Yes. Following Jesus. Now that's the topic that I prepare. Right after the Labor Day weekend, when Pastor Ho tell me that I'll preach, and I prepare this. I prepare several messages ahead of time. So will you stand up with me? And okay, stand up with me, and we'll read the passage from John. And then I'll share the message with you. Come on in, everybody. Yeah, somebody in the back. And while you're standing up, if you don't mind, Lily, Mimi, I'm sorry that I call you. And also, Q, and also Justin, come forward. Pastor Tang want to be a little closer to you. Will you come? Come to the front half. Okay, come to the front half. I really believe real church life is to be together. And I told some people that now every church is talking about changing the mode of ministry. I think there are some ministers really wanted the whole situation to be changed, that from now on and forever and ever, people will meet in Zoom. I simply feel, let me die first before the church change into Zoom only. Let me die first. I don't believe a Zoom church, okay? And I believe coming together. And I think I'm correct when I read the Bible. And we are not talking about that particular subject on church meeting. So I'm not going to talk about that. But let us read this. Thank you very much for listening and moving up. And I love it when you still follow my instruction. Okay, and that makes me feel good. I know Lily and Mimi for a long time. And so let us read this passage together in unison. Truly, this is said to show by what kind of death was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple. When Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table, and he said, Lord, who is that to betray you? Lord, what about this man? So the saying spread abroad that the disciples was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to them that he was not to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Please be seated. Well, so we are talking about following Jesus. It's a very simple topic. Following Jesus is a relationship. It is not just the outward appearance of he's in the front,
and just follow.
More than that, that also included, okay? But following Jesus is really talking about a loving relationship. You know him, you love him, you know he is Lord, you know he is God, and he's always ahead of us. We want him to lead us, not us leading him, right? That's the meaning of following Jesus. And one time I want somebody to follow me, to pick up something. The person does, I said, I need help. Can you use your car, follow me, go pick up something? I need your help. So we went, and then the person who was behind me was not patient. And he saw the traffic, and he saw my driving. He's young, I'm old. And he said, that, Pastor Tang, go faster. You can go zigzag, and then you can go past this traffic downtown. So he tried to lead me. So he moved ahead. He zigzag, zigzag, zigzag. He was expecting me, this old guy, to drive just like him. And found I lost him. So when I got to the place, I said, where are you? He said, where are you? I said, you are supposed to follow me, and then you move on ahead. I guess you don't want to help me. So, and that was the situation. He really didn't get to help me. And he wasn't following me at all. And he changed his mind. He was not patient. He was, he went ahead of me. Now, so following Jesus, if you don't agree with Jesus, you cannot follow him. The Bible said when two parties walking together, two persons or two parties walking together, they must agree. Unless two agree, they cannot walk together in harmony. You understand? It will be a broken relationship because you don't agree with one another. So we want to remember that. Following Jesus is not just a outward appearance. It is really a relationship, a loving relationship about loving Jesus, obeying Jesus, doing what he wants us to do. So I want to look at it at two angles. One is accept the cause of the discipleship. Some of you might have read many books on discipleship, because a lot of people talk about discipleship, which is very important. We want to be a disciple. A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus, okay? So I read many books on discipleship. I think the best book I have read, some of you probably know already, is written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who was executed by the Nazi way back, and because of his work, his preaching, his teaching, his influence. And when I read, opened his book, What is Discipleship? I remember many years ago, I was in seminary, required reading. What is this cause of discipleship? I opened a book and it shocked me. Because from the line, he said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. I still couldn't get over that power. He said, when Christ calls you to come to follow him, he asks you to come and die. Die to yourself. Die to your ambition. Die to your own plan. You need to do what I want you to do. Now, that's the cause. I think Bonhoeffer really knows the pride, the cause of discipleship. And he actually gave his own life as the ultimate cross for following Jesus. And then I want to look at the second point. Avoid the cunning of egocentricity. So some, because we are human, we always have our own thought. See, that is something that after you become a Christian, your biggest problem, as I learned from others, that the biggest problem is not sin. Hear me? Okay, so some people say, always talk about, sin, every day, you forget. Christ has already solved your problem of sin. Your biggest, after you become a Christian, the biggest problem is not sin. You, of course, sin is still a problem, but the biggest problem is yourself. You understand me? So if you obey God, you listen to God, and you live in a way that God wants, I think you don't really, really worry about the problem of sin. That's my thought. You don't have to agree with me 100%. I don't want to argue with you. I know there are different perspectives. So egocentricity, what does that mean? It is that you always think that you are right, and you can listen to other people. I know for a fact my wife is the best person in my life, teaching me, telling me that I have been wrong. And so I miss that. And she would tell me, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that to the people today and during the sermon or something like that. Anyway, but she always very respectful. She always very loving. And she's the best critic in my whole life. And so that I would not be egocentric. I dare not think that I'm the best husband in the world or something, you know. I never dare to think that. I realize that I can be wrong, and I need to pay attention. Don't be wrong. Don't be self-deceived. God is not mocked, you know, and you think you're right, but you're wrong, and God is right. Let us look at the Word of God, right? But some people even use the Word of God to prove themselves other people are wrong and they are right. And anyway, so avoid the cunning of egocentricity. So that's what we need to do. And by the way, some people walk in here a little late. You didn't hear my comment earlier. I said that I prepared this sermon way ahead. So I didn't just make this up, the message up. So you know that. That's all along I wanted, this is what I want to say today for the Chinese service. But I didn't know that I'm asked to preach here. So I want you to understand that. So here we go. Accept the cost of discipleship. If you want to show it, you can show it. Bury the slides, because I can be just talking and digressing from my outline from time to time. So Peter was, look at this verse. Peter, help me to read this, and I really need your help. So you hear me, sometimes I read it, I stop, because I feel my voice cracking, so I stop. And then, but I want you to help me to read the back. Yeah, can you do that right now? Peter began saying, Jesus said, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come into the light. Now, I purposely emphasize on some point. Okay, let me explain to you. Okay, let me explain to you. I think right here, Peter was telling the truth. Peter was telling the truth, and he said to Jesus that we have given up everything. We have left everything. I put the verse up so that people can see it. Okay, he said that we have left everything and follow you. Do you think Peter is telling the truth? Yes, Elliot, thank you. Yeah, he is telling the truth. He's not exaggerating. You read the gospel. He was in the boat. He was trying to catch fish with his partners, and John and James and John, and he and Andrew, his brother, and they were also fishing. Then Jesus came along, saw them, said, come follow me. And the Bible said they left their father, that means their family, and their boat. They left everything and followed Jesus immediately. Right? So he's not telling lies. He was not exaggerating. He understand to a certain extent, the cause of discipleship. Now, Jesus' response is very interesting. Because Peter was trying to remind Jesus. Well, sometimes it's okay to remind God, you know, but remind God of his, you know, God, you have always been faithful. Please help me again. Can you? Now, that's good prayer. That's good prayer. You remind God who he is. And he likes it. That's how godly people, heroes of faith in the Bible, they pray. They always remember who God is. That's why they are not disappointed. So they know God's love will not change. Right? We talk about change. Do you still remember what I preached last week? I sometimes tell people 10 minutes after the service, a lot of people, not maybe not you, a lot of people forget what is the message today. I hope you still remember. We're talking about Jesus is the same. What's the verse? Yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lily. Right, did you remember that? But Peter over here is very interesting. Jesus responds to him, very interesting. And Jesus said, truly, yes, you're right. You didn't tell a lie. I say to you, there is no one, okay? Jesus affirmed him. There is no one who has left house, your parents, or brothers, or sister, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake. And for the gospel. It's very important. You can forsake everything. Because you know, some people, they forsake everything because they want to gamble and they lose everything. It is meaningless. It is sinful. It is just wrong, so wrong. But you left everything for my sake and for the gospel. Now, listen to what Jesus said. God is always good, kind, faithful, generous. 30. Who will not receive 100-fold? Now, right now, in this earth, in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, not wives, and mothers and children, and lands. Now let me ask you this. Do we have someone homeless here? You're a Christian. You follow Jesus. Okay? And I guess somewhere in your mind, you, in your consciousness, you know, I'll do whatever Jesus wants me to do. I will go wherever he wants me to go. I will do whatever he wants me to do. Okay, somewhere in your mind, whether you can do it or not, it's another thing. But at least you understand the meaning of the cause of discipleship. Right? Right? You know that. But Jesus wants you to know. Everybody now, listen up. The Bible says, Jesus said, he never mistreats you. He'll give you whatever you need. That's how I feel. I was very poor growing up in the village. I can tell you lots of things that will surprise you. How poor was I when I was growing up in the village? I don't even have shoes, new shoes, until I was 12 years old going into high school or something. It's all broken old shoe from my left over by my older brother. Okay? Now, let me tell you this. But now, I became a Christian when I was 16. And let me tell you this, how I feel. I got everything that I need. 100-fold. I really mean it. 100-fold. Maybe more than 100-fold. Now, of course, we have Jesus not talking about arithmetic over here. He's talking, I will supply all you need. Whatever you need. Whatever you need. I'll give to you. If you do it for me. Jesus said, the Bible said, any godly people will not have to go out and beg. That's what the Bible said. God will provide for all of our needs. Not all you want, but all your needs. But Jesus, very, very succinctly, very vividly, very clearly, he said, I'll give everything that you will need in this world. But there is a condition with persecutions. That's the cause of discipleship. That means when you want to do the will of God, when you live in the way God wants, you will have persecution. If you have never felt anything in your life from this world because you want to obey God, if you never felt that, I cannot do that. You cannot make me do something like that because I'm a Christian. And then you feel, oh, I am different. Seems like there is, living in this world, we have persecutions. One degree or another, you understand what I mean? So that's the cause of discipleship. Are you ready? You want to follow Jesus? Justin, are you ready? Are you ready to suffer for Jesus Christ, to pay the cost of discipleship? And then comes the future and the age to come, eternal life. In this world, we'll have tribulation. We'll have persecution. We'll have suffering and affliction. But you do want to obey God and do what is pleasing in the sight of God. Now, next verse, we can go on and try to understand this a little bit more. And we're talking about relationship. Now let us talk about love and hate. In a relationship, these two emotions, it can be opposite to one another. Let us read this. Luke 16:13. No serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Again, I say, following Jesus is based on a relationship. We choose to follow Jesus. I believe here, no one is forcing you to come to church. forcing you to believe in Jesus. True religion cannot be forced. You understand? So, it's your choice. It's my choice. We choose to follow Jesus. We choose to love Him. Okay? And I found out from day one, I become a Christian. I used to worship idol in the village, worship ancestor morning and evening, burn incense. That's my duty as a son. When I raised my hand, I was born again that night, Christmas Day. And I make a decision. First thing I found out, I cannot worship idol anymore. That's me. I cannot love Jesus and I love the idols. I cannot serve Jesus and serve the idols of ancestors' shrines, you know. And so we cannot be double-minded. You know, let me have this, you know, just for 3 more months, you know, so make it easier. So after 3 months, and then I'll tell my parents, oh, I have accepted Jesus, you know. And I let them know. They found out I was not there. There's no time. I was not there. They said, where did Herman go? He said, he went to church with his friend. Last night, I become a Christian. They said, my father said, he was so against Christianity. Everybody in my village against Christianity. I don't care. My father said, he went to church. Eat all the food. Don't leave anything for him. Now that's my first night as a Christian. I went home, I cried for 2 hours. Because Christ has saved me and set me free from the bondage of sin. I knew it. I sensed the power of salvation. I opened the container to see if there's anything to eat. Everything is gone except rice. You know what? I just eat the rice. That's the best meal that I've ever eaten in my life. That night. You cannot serve two masters. Either you love Jesus or you love the world. If you want to get rich, I told my students, without mistake, every time when I face the class, I said, if you want to get rich, get out of here. Don't be a minister. Go make your money. Now, some people, God bless them, some good Christian, great Christian, totally dedicated to God. God make them very rich. Now, that's another thing. That's another thing. But it is not just the love of money. They love God. And God just bless them. And they use their resource to glorify God. So, you cannot serve two masters. Cannot be double-minded, cannot be ambivalent. Let me just sin a little bit. How about that? Not just a little bit. I used to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Now how about just one now? I think that you have to. I know that it is it can be complicated. I mean, you talk about addiction and so on and so forth. But our attitude is that you have to separate. No more. enough. If that's a sinful lifestyle, you have to stop right away. That is not pleasing to Jesus. Jesus gave us a good example. We don't need to risk. Because when Jesus first came out to do ministry, public ministry, and you know, Satan brought him to a mountain, show him the beauty of the world, all the good things, all the good things in the world. I don't know what that is, but Satan trying to seduce Jesus said, if you bow down before me, I'll give you all of this. And you know what? Satan is not lying either. Because Satan has control over all the good things of the world. Now you understand what I mean. The good things I'm talking about are the sinful desire, are the things that are opposite to God in a war. And I'll give you all these things. But Jesus said, no. Worship God and only God. That's what Jesus said. Cost of discipleship. And we know Jesus paid, of course, the ultimate price. The second point, I'll just wrap up. The time is 10:30, right? Right? Let us ask Lawrence. We end at 10:30, right? 10:45. Okay. Oh, so I'm still okay. All right. So I'm still getting used to our system back now, you know. And I didn't know I have to send out PowerPoint. I have all the PowerPoint done. And, but yesterday, you know, in the afternoon, and from the Chinese service, Pastor Tang, where is your sermon information? I said, I'm sorry. I didn't even know who to send the information to. So I sent it to her. And she's happy that it's already done. And so I need to. So I still got about 10 minutes to go. Because we need to sing. I want to sing. Avoid the cunning. Avoid egocentricity. Okay? The cunning of egocentricity. Hear me clearly. I love the Apostle Peter, and I think he is a wonderful, wonderful Christian leader, and God used him powerfully. But Peter's personality, sometimes he makes me feel that he's thinking about himself, you know, and he will compare himself to other people. You remember that? Jesus said, you all will betray me. And he said, no, I will not. Even if they all betray you, and I will not betray you, right? Remember that? and then he failed miserably. And you know that. He denied Jesus 3 times, even though he swore, and you know, and he even swore in front of the guard and saying, I don't know him. I don't know Jesus, you know. And that kind of thing. So we know that. But he's human. And he has a tendency sometimes to compare. If I forsake everything in order to follow you, I have to suffer in order to follow you, if you want me to be bound and let people take me to the place I don't want to go. And he immediately think, how about him? Right? Now that's the point. Now that's the cunning of egocentricity. Egocentricity is you think about yourself. You cannot really just distinguish your own idea with what you ought to do, what you're supposed to do. That's a problem. The inability to differentiate between self and other. More specifically, egocentricity is the inability to accurately understand any perspective other than one's own. Psychologists believe that every person has certain degree of egocentricity. So we have to acknowledge it. I can be, you know, narcissistic sometimes. But I have to watch out. I need to be reminded. You can be too. Followers of Jesus, you are. Follower of Jesus, pay attention to this. Don't let yourself get into the way of following Jesus. Your biggest problem is not sin. Your biggest problem is yourself. When you don't listen to God, when you decided to go your own way, because Jesus has already solved the problem for our sins. No more condemnations. And yeah, I know I fall short of the standard of God, but I know it. God knows it. But He has chosen me. He has accepted me in Christ. All I have to do is to turn away. Stop doing it. Now that is the way to live victoriously. And but there's something more tricky, more cunning. As you can be deceived. You don't know something, but you think you know. You are wrong, but you think you're right. But that is even more dangerous. So anyway, Romans 12. Let us read this to me, and then I'll try to wrap up. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to surrender. As a disciple of Jesus, surrender our life. I give you all, Jesus. I give you my all, my time, my life, my family, my loved ones, my resource, my bank account, my car, my house, everything. Surrender. It's a living sacrifice. You live for the glory of Jesus. You live for the glory of God from now on. It's all from God anyway. Do not be conformed to this world. The world always put self in front of everything. Because there is no God. If you don't have God, the world is talking about the world that is opposite to God. Without God, yourself basically becomes your own God. That is really bad. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, here comes. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to be mindful of our thinking. What I am thinking. What do I care about? What is my value? Am I doing the right thing? Renewal of your mind by the power of the truth of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And testing. You ask yourself, Lord, give me discernment, understanding. What is your will? What do you want me to do? Now, that is very, very, very crucial. Well, we have to do that. Go to the last verse, and then we'll end. And Sam will come lead us to sing the closing song. You all know this very well. Let us read it before I close. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God. It's the most important thing that we have to do. You know, like putting God first. No matter what. Love other people. And that's what God tells us to do as follower of Jesus Christ. And we live a life that is not self-centered. You put God first, no matter what. So my question to you is, my fellow brothers and sisters, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, there'll be a time that you'll be challenged, that you'll be tested. Do you still love God? If he said, I want you to come and die to your self-interest, die to your own previous lifestyle, I want you to follow me, even you have to leave your comfort zone. What if God take away something that is most precious to you? And he take it away. Will you still love him? That's my question. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand your goodness. You're a good God. All things work together for the good of those who love you. Thank you so much. That's why we can follow you without any reservation. It's all by your grace. You love us first. You gave your only son for us before we even heard about your name, your gospel. Show us how to live our lives. Sacrifice, make sacrifices, willing to make sacrifices for you and for your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.